Welcome back to DNB College. Today we're building a tape-aged subweight roller in Ableton Live 12 for jungle and old-school DNB vibes. The idea here is simple, but the execution matters a lot. We want bass that feels worn, haunted, and alive, but still hits with clean club weight. So this is not about making everything lo-fi for the sake of it. It's about giving the bass some memory, some age, some character, while keeping the sub solid, monosafe, and fully functional on a big system. That balance is the whole lesson. Why this works in DNB is because the bass is not just a tone, it's part of the groove. In jungle and old-school rollers, the bass often answers the break and supports the snare rather than fighting for attention. When you add a tape like Haze in the right place, the bass can sit slightly behind the drums, feel more emotional, and still keep the floor moving. That's the sweet spot. So let's build it properly. Start with the groove first. Don't design a huge bass sound before the drums are working. Get a solid DNB foundation in place. Kick on 1. Snare on 2 and 4. Hats or break tops giving you motion. Then write a simple bass idea over that. Keep it narrow at first. Think short notes, a couple of longer anchors, and some deliberate space around the snare. What to listen for here is whether the bass leaves room for the snare to land cleanly. If the riff feels exciting on its own but starts flattening the drums once they're playing, that's usually a sign the pattern is too busy, not that the sound is wrong. In this style, restraint is power. A few well-placed notes will hit harder than a crowded line. Now build the sub on its own track or in its own chain. Keep this brutally clean. Use something simple like operator or wavetable with a sine or very basic waveform. Keep it mono. Keep it centered. Keep it dependable. This layer is your club insurance. Set the envelope so the notes have the shape you want. Shorter notes give you that punchy roller feel. Slightly longer notes give you more floor pressure. Usually, in this kind of DNB, you're somewhere between tight and controlled, not smeared and washed out. If needed, use EQA to gently remove anything above the useful low-end area. And if the sub starts to wobble, blur, or lose focus, stop and fix that before you add any character processing. That is important. The tape haze should never live on the sub itself. Next, create the character layer. This is where the worn tape energy lives. Use a synth sound with enough harmonic content to survive processing, like a saw and square blend, a detuned wavetable patch, or a controlled restyle source. Keep this layer lower in level than you think at first. It should feel like grime sitting on top of the sub, not like a second bass trying to take over. A good stock device starting chain could be wavetable, then auto filter, then saturator, then maybe a touch of echo or a chorus ensemble, then EQ8, then utility. Keep the detune subtle. Keep the filter fairly dark. Keep the saturation controlled. If you're using chorus or echo, think tiny amounts, not obvious width or delay effects. What to listen for is whether this layer adds attitude when soloed, and then whether it still earns its place once the drums come back in. If it sounds cool on its own but muddies the drop, it's not working yet. The character layer has to support the groove, not distract from it. Now let's get into the actual tape haze. The key word here is controlled degradation. We want wear, not chaos. A really useful stock chain is saturator, then a light amount of dynamic tube or drum bus, then auto filter, then maybe a touch of redux if you want more old school bite, and finally utility, for control. You can drive the saturator a few dB, then pull the output back. Use soft clipping if the layer gets spiky. Add a little tube-style thickening if you want the upper mids to feel more pressed and aged. Use the filter to keep the movement narrow, not dramatic. This is not a massive filter sweep moment. It's more like the bass is breathing through a worn transport path. If you want the sound warmer and rounder, stay with saturation, gentle compression, and restrained filtering. If you want it rougher and more jungle damaged, add a touch of redux, a bit more drive, and slightly tighter filtering. Either way, the point is the same. The haze should feel like wear on the sound, not an FX sticker pasted on top. And this is where a lot of people go wrong. They put the tape effect on the entire bass, including the sub, and then the low end loses its center. Don't do that. Blit the job. Let the sub stay clean and let the haze live above it. That's how you get old character without losing the floor. From here, shape the bass rhythm so it rolls with a break. That matters just as much as the sound design. In DNB, the groove comes from how the bass interacts with the snare and break, not from how many notes you can fit in. A really solid approach is to build a one-bar motif, then repeat it with a small variation. Use that across 4 bars, then change one note or one rhythm hit at the end of the phrase. Over a 16-bar section, let something evolve every 4 bars so the loop feels like a real arrangement, not just a copy-paste idea. What to listen for is whether the bass is making the drums feel more urgent without stepping on them. If the break loses energy when the bass comes in, the line is probably too long, too wide, or too harmonically dense in the wrong area. Shorten it. Simplify it. Give the snare space to speak. Now let's control the low end and the haze separately. On the character layer, high pass enough to keep it out of the subzone. Depending on the patch, that might be somewhere around 90 to 140 Hz or even higher, if the layer is especially thick. On the subtrack, keep the signal clean and centered. If the bass gets boxy, reduce some low mid energy. If it gets harsh, tame the upper mids a bit. Also, check the bass in mono. Very important, use utility on the bass bus and make sure the sound doesn't collapse when you sum it down. If it does, the character layer is probably too wide or too facey. Narrow it, simplify it, or reduce modulation. The low end has to survive mono. That's non-negotiable. A useful mindset here is to treat the haze layer a bit like percussion in the mid-range. It can act like a ghost rhythm, especially if you chop it or shape the note lengths tightly. That gives you motion without clutter. And in darker D&B, that little bit of restless texture can make the whole drop feel more alive. Now add some automation, but keep it subtle. A narrow filter movement on haze layer works really well. You can also automate a small amount of saturation drive, or a tiny volume move between phrases. Over 8 or 16 bars, that gives the bass some progression without turning it into a big obvious buildup. For example, keep bars 1 to 4 darker and tighter. Then open the haze a little in bars 5 to 8. Add a touch more grit in bars 9 to 12. Then pull some of that energy back in bars 13 to 16 so the next section has room to breathe. That kind of movement makes the bass feel like it's evolving, even if the MIDI barely changes. What to listen for here is whether the automation creates forward motion or just obvious FX movement. You want the bass to feel like it's developing a memory over time, not like a filter is waving around for attention. If you find a tone you really like, print it to auto. That's a strong move in this style. Freeze, flatten, or resample the hazy layer so you can edit the waveform directly. That makes it easier to trim tails, tighten note lengths, and place tiny gaps exactly where the snare needs them. It also gives you a more committed texture, which is often better than endlessly tweaking a live synth patch. This is one of those little pro moves that saves time and improves the arrangement. Printed audio is easier to slice, easier to clip, and easier to control in context. Now arrange it into a real drop, not just a loop. Think of the first four bars as the introduction of the identity. Then the next four bars add a little pressure. The middle eight can deepen the haze or bring in more rhythmic variation. Then the last four bars should create a handoff into the next section, either by stripping something away or by leaving a pickup that points forward. For a second drop, don't just make it louder. Make it more committed. Maybe the sub stays clean, but the mid layer gets dirtier. Maybe one note shifts up an octave. Maybe the rhythm gets a little more chopped. Maybe the filter opens a little more, or maybe it gets darker and meaner. In heavier D&B, darker can hit harder than bigger. And of course, always bring it back to the full drum arrangement. The bass has to work with the kick, snare, and break together. If the kick loses punch, shorten the bass notes or reduce the haze around that hit. If the snare loses authority, cut some low mids and leave more space around beat 2 and 4. If the groove feels stiff, move the bass a fraction deeper into the pocket. Tiny changes matter here. A really useful habit is to ask yourself one question again and again. Does this change improve the bass line's job in the track, or only its solo tone? If it only sounds better alone, stop. Make the music better, not just the patch. Before we wrap, here's the core idea to remember. Build the sub clean first. Add haze above it, not through it. Keep the rhythmic phrasing simple enough to let the break and snare breathe. Use automation and arrangement movement to make the loop feel like a track. And always check mono, low-end clarity, and drum interaction before you call it done. If you want to push this further, try the mini exercise. Build a 16-bar tape-hazed sub-weight roller using only stock Ableton devices. Keep the sub and haze separate. Limit yourself to just a few bass notes in the first four bars. Add only one automation move on the first pass. Then listen in context and ask yourself, does the sub stay solid in mono, does the bass leave room for the snare, and does the groove roll forward instead of just holding a note? And if you want the extra challenge, make two versions. One cleaner and more sub-forward, one dirtier, more worn, more chopped. Same MIDI, same drums, one version for the first drop and one for the second. That's a really strong way to make the arrangement feel like it evolves without losing identity. That's the move. Keep the sub disciplined. Keep the haze controlled, and let the drums stay in front. Do that, and you'll get that dusty, weighted, old-school DN Bean energy without losing the power that makes it work on a proper system. Now go build it, print it, and make it roll.